So at about the seventh inning of the sermon, we will stand and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Just kidding. This morning, we do have Kids Connection, though. So those of you that are in that particular bracket, then if you want to be dismissed at this time, I think it's kids that are up through the sixth grade. Yes. Are able to go with Mel right in the center. You can walk out with Mel right there. And it is very helpful, parents, if you will pick them up at the end of the service, not the end of the day. And it's like they just come out of the ground, isn't it? Jeff mentioned that tonight I will be presenting to you what is the Antioch Initiative, and it is more than just something that our church is participating in. It is something that affects the entire church family, and I really, really encourage you to be here tonight. If I got up here and said, tonight I'm going to be having to share some very serious news with you about a member of the staff, you would all be here. I am not going to be sharing with you serious news tonight about a member of the staff. Tonight I'm going to be sharing with you some very good news. But it seems that good news doesn't travel quite as fast or get quite as much attention as bad news. But tonight is good news. And so actually what I'm trying to do is save you from bad news, because I do believe that later this afternoon and into the evening, the Detroit Lions are playing the Green Bay Packers, and that just isn't going to look pretty, I'm afraid. So to spare you that, set your VCRs or whatever and be part of that tonight. On an annual basis, I like to remind us of who we are as a church and what is our purpose and the mission that God has given to us. Because I want you to understand not only what the church is and why God has raised up the church, but I want you to understand your part, your place, your connection. I invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16. And then I will be reading a passage from Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 11. But first of all, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16, and I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We read of the authority of Christ, the commissioning of the disciples, and the promise that He has given to us there as well. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, referring to Jesus Christ, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead of all that, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Sovereign Lord, You raised up the church, and You raised it up as the vehicle to reach this world with the gospel, and as the greenhouse in which to raise Your kids. Help us to see the church as You do and embrace its priority and pursue its purpose with a lifelong passion that grows and grows and grows until we are with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Four years ago today, the relative calm and security of our nation was shattered by the attacks upon New York City and Washington, D.C. The attacks of terrorism that we were used to hearing about in Beirut and Tel Aviv and even Belfast now came to our home. Large oceans no longer protected us. We found out, attacked from within. The terrorists came here. They lived here in order to attack us here. Life can change quickly. The catastrophic consequences of a Category 4 hurricane upon a low-lying area with a large urban population have only reinforced that truth that life can change quickly. Life not only can, life does change quickly. You are one CAT scan away. One lab report away from your life being changed very quickly. We live with clear and present danger. We live in a world where there are evil people who do evil things, where natural disasters can produce enormous consequences and tremendous devastation. A drunk driver can rip your family apart. A thief can steal your identity and wreak havoc on your credit and financial world. A bully at school or an angry teacher can mess with your kid's life and give you a year of torment. The potential scenarios are endless, but the question that I have for you is, can you live with joy and confidence, purpose and direction in the midst of an unstable world? The answer for those who are followers of Jesus Christ has to be a resounding and deafening yes. That is what Ed did. Ed and his wife sat in their home on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. Their generator kept the lights going, and it also powered their TV, which enabled them to see the destruction and the devastation that was taking place just to their south. Ed, who is an evangelical Christian, said to his wife, and I quote, "If we know Jesus, we have to do something." And he powered up his boat and went across the lake and on his own started rescuing people, many of whom he brought back to his own home where his wife cooked for them, where they were now able to find some dry shelter. As I read about what Ed did, I thought, in a very real way, that is what we are called to do as a church. We who know Jesus, we have to do something. We have to do what He's called us to do. We have to reach people who are drowning in sin. We have to reach them with the gospel in order to rescue them from their sin and its hopelessness and rescue them to a community of believers so they can grow, so they can serve, so they can reach others. This is not just a good idea of a program to quote unquote grow the church. These are the marching orders that Christ Himself gave to His disciples. They are a mark of health. Reaching people with the gospel of Christ, bringing them into a new relationship, is part of the Great Commission. Hunter Thompson was a journalist for Rolling Stone magazine, who on February 16th of this year wrote a note to his wife entitled, "Football Season is Over." Hunter often became depressed in February because the Super Bowl was done. That is a sad way to live, but at the age of 67, it is incredibly tragic. For this man lived for the NFL. And his note said, and I'm quoting in part, "No more games, no more walking, no more fun, no more swimming. 67, that is 17 years past 50, 17 more than I needed or wanted. Boring, no fun for anybody. 67, you are getting greedy. Act your age, relax, this won't hurt." And 4 days later, he took his life. You may not know Hunter, but you probably know someone like him. Larry could be your neighbor. He just replaced his minivan with a pickup truck because his youngest child just recently moved out of the home and he doesn't need a minivan anymore. Larry's looking for 10 years of work before retirement. He's just hoping that the company he works for stays afloat that long, since everything seems to be getting outsourced these days. He knows that in these 10 years, he's really got to beef up his retirement savings. But even if his job does last that long and he starts to retire, Larry is wondering where life has gone and what it really is about. He recently remodeled his kitchen and he's been working on his landscaping and he's thinking about buying a bigger boat or maybe moving further up north. But in some of his quiet moments in his garage, when he's about to cut his grass again, he wonders to himself, is this what life is really all about? Is this it? Do I cut grass and then die? Do you know Alexia? Lexi is probably taking a class with you in college. She's angry at herself because she knew better than to hang out with that guy at the bar last night. But she was bored. And frankly, she was looking for a reason to get even with her ex-boyfriend. And now she's thinking about the possible consequences. STDs or other related issues have a way of making a difficult life a whole lot more complicated. But another day and another regret are just added to her stack, like another note reminding her to return a phone call that she didn't want to make.
Today she's sitting next to you in class and she wonders if life is just one big game where people use each other. You either are getting used by somebody or you are using them. And maybe at times it's all going on at the same time. Do you know Jason? Jason's on your kid's soccer team. On the Tuesday night games, Jason's mom brings him to the game. But on Saturday, sometimes it's his mom, sometimes it's his dad. And whatever girlfriend his dad has that weekend. Sometimes Jason's late. He's not the priority of the schedule sometimes. Sometimes he's really tired, like he stayed up too late. Jason has a lot of friends who do the weekend shuttle between parents, but he still can't figure out why he has to have two bedrooms. His family fell apart after his older brother was diagnosed with a disease. And ever since that time, Jason has been wondering if he's next. But he's never told anybody. Nobody's ever asked. People think it's good for him to play in the league, but Jason would just really like to be able to talk to somebody because he doesn't even know how to ask. Larry, Alexia, and Jason are part of the thousands and thousands of people who we see and we speak with every single week. They are people with problems and struggles who God is using those occasions in their life so that they will realize that they need an anchor for life. They need a love that will never let them go. They need someone and something to really believe in and someone to trust in, someone to follow. And we know who they need. We know that they need Christ. And your job, your reason for existence on this earth, right here, right now, is not to increase your savings. Your existence on this earth, right here, right now, is to honor God by reaching people with the gospel. But yet we hesitate. Why? Is it because that we know that in our own lives and families, in church, that we've got a long way to go? We know that we have confessed Christ as our Savior, that we have a message that will change people's lives, but we also know that our own lives aren't completely changed yet. We can appreciate what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, remember those people, the believers at Corinth, chapter 1, verse 8, when he said to these people who are so full of problems, Paul wrote to them and said, "He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful." Do you realize what that means? That means that someday you will be like Christ. Someday I will be like Christ. Right now we struggle. Right now we feel as if every day is two steps forward and three steps back. We wonder if we will ever deal with our issues and resolve our problems. We wonder if we will always live with a sense of frustration over our apparent inability to learn from our failures and make changes. And because we tend to get stuck in the ruts of our own sinful thinking, we hesitate to reach out. But listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is working in you to make you like Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He will finish what He starts. Philippians 1:6. The progress may be slow, but He is at work. It's been over a year since Joe Seiler passed away, and not long after Joe, my dad went to glory. We know Joe loved to greet people at the doors. My dad loved to play the piano. So it's natural for those of us who knew these two men to think that we'll probably meet Joe at the door of heaven where he's kicked Peter out, who often in the jokes is there at the door of heaven, whatever that means. And we often think that not too far into the city, we'll hear some pretty good piano playing, particularly if we're on the south side of heaven. But there's a sense in which if we went to heaven today and we saw Joe and we saw my dad and we saw Jesus, that we would have to ask them, "Will you please show me your hands so that I can tell which one of you is Jesus? I know that the Spirit of God uses His Word. And He uses the church as the means by which He conforms us and makes us look like and act like Jesus. And I know that we have not arrived, but the fact that you and I have not arrived should not deter us from bringing other people along on the journey. Because we know that we will arrive someday. And so will the ones who join with us." We hesitate to reach out sometimes to people who need Christ and sometimes to people who need to grow in Christ because we recognize we're not a perfect example yet. But listen, if you have come to faith in Christ, you are being changed. And one day, when you arrive in heaven, you will finally and fully be changed. And therefore, based upon our confidence in Christ to finish what He started in us, we have to carry out this mandate that Christ has given to the church. So Cornerstone Baptist Church, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, is our divine mandate. We have to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have to do that by baptizing those who come to faith in Christ, by teaching them. That is the Great Commission. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, gives us, Cornerstone, the divine means by which we must carry out the divine mandate. And the means is this: God has given to the church leadership with a task. That task is to prepare God's people to work together in order to carry out the ministry of making disciples. So we are not only to reach out and bring people to faith in Christ, which also brings with it they become connected to the body, but we also must build people up. We must teach them what Matthew 28:19 is talking about, what Ephesians chapter 4 is talking about. As we teach people, they mature, they grow, they are strengthened so that they are now in a position to be able to reach out into this community and into their world and connect with Larry and Alexia and Jason. How do we do that? Well, the model that we use to try to communicate those truths is like a baseball diamond. Now, this imagery doesn't work perfectly, but it does work pretty well. I need some baseball players. And I do have a hat for you up here. It's Team Cornerstone. Chris, would you come up here for a minute? And these days, if you're going to wear a baseball hat, you have to do this to it, don't you? You just can't have one of those flat bills on it. So we got to bend this a little bit. Chris, are you right-handed or left-handed? I'm loving it. You're left-handed. All right, come on over here. Okay, as a left-handed batter, you'll stand over here and you're going to spank this one into right field, aren't you? Okay? All right. Chris is representing for us a person who is coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And what our initial objective is as a church is to see people come to a commitment to Christ and to His church. And we call that first base. Chris, will you go up to first base? And just hold it right there for a minute, okay? Now, if you are trying to figure out what life is about and who you are and why God has you here, first base is where you need to start. You need to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to understand who Christ is, what He did, and what He offers to you. You need to see for yourself that God has provided you with the means, the only means for you to be forgiven of your sin and declared righteous in His sight. And when you understand that truth, which is called the gospel, it will literally change your life. You will then be in a position to see what the church is really about. Now, if you're not sure what it means to be committed to Christ, if you're not sure what it means to be part of the family of Jesus Christ, which is the church, all right, we have a class that helps you understand this. It is a class that is called Discovering God's People. And in this class, I explain what it means to be a follower of Christ and provide instruction regarding the gospel as well as an introduction to the purpose and ministry of the church. Now, if you are already a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're not real confident about your ability to share the gospel or communicate the gospel with somebody. Let's say that Chris is your neighbor. And you want to reach Chris with the gospel, but you're not sure that you can explain it real well yet. Which I want you to learn to be able to do that. But if you're just not able, you know what you can do? You can invite Chris to come to this class. You can do that. You can invite Larry or Jason or Alexia to become part of the church and find these classes where we teach these things and go over the gospel. You can do that. That class, Discovering God's People, is what we use as part of the membership process because we want to make sure every person understands what it means to be a follower of Christ. But a commitment to Christ and His people is connected to, secondly, a lifelong commitment to grow as a follower of Christ. Now, Chris, in baseball, if you get a single and you're here on first base, does that win the game? No, what do you have to do? You have to get home, don't you? And how do you get home? Where do you go from first base? You go to second. All right, so head on over to second base. Now, what second base is it is a lifelong commitment to maturity. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, that's not where the whole thing ends. That's where it just begins. And coming to faith in Christ, being connected with His body, you begin to find out that the doctrine of justification is connected to the doctrine of sanctification, which is dealing with how do you grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. You remember the marching orders of Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We not only reach people with the gospel, we teach them to observe all things. And the responsibility of the leadership of the church, the responsibility of the church, is to teach every person what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ so that you can grow in the faith. Now, I recognize that the whole church at one time is not going to be all at second base. Hopefully, and this is often the case, some people are growing while other people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Gary, this is one of the pitfalls, I guess, of sitting on the front row, isn't it? So, we go to first base.
Does that fit?
Yeah.
Okay, still has a tag on it, so we'll let you keep the hat for your illustrative purposes for this morning here.
Second base, right behind me, deals with growing and maturing as a follower of Christ. And keep in mind, and this is where the baseball analogy kind of breaks down, because you never stop growing and maturing as a follower of Christ. And therefore, there's a sense in which we are always, as followers of Christ, we're always at second base. But I think that the baseball analogy is good enough that it'll help us grasp the big idea. At second base, we are focusing on maturity, or discovering God's power to grow. And since that is something that we spend the rest of our life doing, there are many different ministries within this church that emphasize what we call second base. Now, there is a class that helps explain this. It's called Discovering God's Power. You need to be a member of the church before you take this class. Why? Because God has never called you to grow as a Lone Ranger Christian. The call to Christ brings with it a call to grow as a follower, and that is done within the family of Christ. We want you to help you grow the way that God has intended for you to grow, and discovering God's power is the main class for second base. But what we teach in this class helps you to understand the rightful place of everything else that we teach in terms of how to grow and develop as a follower of Christ. We have many, many courses that we consider second base courses, which is because we're always learning and growing. Sometimes those courses build on each other. But if you get to second base, Chris, have you done your job? Are you done? Does that help the team? No. Where do you have to go from here? You got to get to third base. So go ahead and go to third base, and Gary, if you will, make your way to second base. We get the idea. Third base is where we emphasize our responsibility to serve one another. A lifelong commitment to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ leads into a lifelong commitment to minister. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me at verse number 11 again. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and teachers, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. Now, how do we normally understand that? For many of us, this is how we understand that. We come into church and we sit down and we say, "All right, Jeff, what do you have for me today? Bob, I was up really late last night watching that very depressing football game between Ohio State and Texas. So you better have a good sermon to keep me awake." And when the ushers come down and they pass the plate, we reach either into our purses or our wallets and we pull out some money and we drop it in there. Why? Because that's kind of like paying the admission price, isn't it? The funny thing is, in church, though, we pay the most amount of money for the back seats. I never got that figured out. Everybody fights for the back seats in church. But anyway, that's another sermon. So we're sitting here, the offering plate goes by, and we take out our money, and we put it in the offering plate, and we say, "Okay, you serve me. You teach me. You do this for me." And then we say to each other, "Yeah, what do you think about that service today? Was that any good?" "Well, I've been through worse. You know, he walks around a little bit too much for me," or whatever it happens to be that particular morning. And what do? We set ourselves up. That, by the way, it is not the responsibility of the leadership to put on a good show for you on Sunday morning so that you are not embarrassed when you bring your friends. It is the responsibility of the leadership of the church. It is the God-given mandate of the leadership of the church to prepare you to do works of service, to prepare you, to help you understand What is your place in the body? How can you serve? We are going to see this when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God has given to every single person in the church body a gift or different gifts and different abilities. Now, Chris, my responsibility as your pastor is to help teach you those things and help you understand what your gifts and abilities are, and then to show you how you can serve in your church family. Because as God uses every part together, it's more than just a way of getting the nurseries staffed on Sunday morning. It's more than just a way of having the choir full, of having enough ushers. What happens? What happens when you are serving? When you are serving, when you are relating to others, you are connecting with people. And that is where the rub comes, isn't it? Some of you are here and sitting because you served in another place on another time and you got burned. And it hurt. And you said, I'm not doing that again. The painful reality is that within the body of Christ, we are fragile, broken people. Who, when we serve alongside of each other, there are times in which we say things that we shouldn't say and do things we shouldn't do. And when we minister with each other, that's when we find out, oh man, we've got warts. We've got bunions. We've got problems. Which is why it is absolutely critical that we are learning how to grow and mature and deal with problems, because problems come up as God's way of refining us, as God's way of working off the rough edges. It is within these relationships where we are doing life together that we have the opportunity to relate to each other and to encourage and challenge one another, to learn from each other. And rather than allow the potential of that to cause you to be at a distance, I'm hoping that in our study of 1 Corinthians, you will begin to see that this is something we have to run to, because it's part of God's way of making us like Jesus Christ. There is no greater place for you to invest your time and your passions than in the ministry of this church. Jesus didn't die for pickup trucks or golf clubs or longer burger baskets. He died for the church. And you need to get involved in ministry. Your ministry, you think, okay, you know, Bob, I can't stand up here and sing like those three ladies did so well. I can't do that. Your ministry may be going through the children's rooms on Saturday evenings, emptying waste baskets and praying for every teacher and every child who's going to be in that room the next morning. You may come to the office and help answer phones or give tours to people. You may serve in the parking lot and greet people. You can do that. You may serve on an advertising or marketing team or a spiritual hospice team, or serve as a children's mentor or a graphics designer or a videographer or data entry or missionary care team or library volunteer or set design and construction. Maybe as an adult Bible fellowship teacher or leader, youth staff member, orchestra, choir member, usher, counselor, deacon, deaconess, elder. You may be equipped to interview potential members of the church. Maybe you are equipped to serve as a spiritual coach for people. You may work in the sports ministry, softball or basketball, volleyball or golf. You may want to help people in the church with job placements and employment needs. You may want to serve on the men's ministry team, ladies ministry, conference ministry. You may want to serve as a member of... We have a third base team that helps to identify each person and find them a ministry within the church. But this much is clear. Every member of this church needs to be serving in the ministry of the church. That's my job, to get you to do that. And again, we have a class that helps you understand those things and deals with them, because we have to be a body who ministers with and to each other. That class is called Discovering God's Plan, because it deals with God's plan for how His church is supposed to function. Now, for some of you, God wants you to go to the next level. And we call this home plate. Chris, come on down here. Gary will move you up. Gary, you've done a good job. We'll just consider you have gone home, okay? So you can take the hat off, too, while you're at it. Okay. Getting around the basis is ultimately what God wants for the church to do. He has never called us as a church to see how big we can get. The church needs to understand that we have a responsibility not only to reach and bring and build and send in this community. But remember Matthew 28, 19 and 20? What is our community? It's the world. It's the whole world. And some people, maybe it's Chris, we end up sending out of this community into another country, to another people group, to carry out this task of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, in a very real sense, is what our missions is about. And there's so much that goes into that, some of which I'm going to touch upon this evening. But we have that this responsibility, this glorious privilege that God has given to us to see people come to faith in Christ and be connected to His body, to grow as followers of Christ, to learn what their gifts and abilities are, to find a place of service. And in that finding a place of service, there are times in which the body says, you know that person over there? They need to be in full-time ministry. That person there, they have a passion for missions, and we become part of the process that sends them out to carry out this process in another arena. Chris, thank you very much. You may be seated. So where are you? Do you understand? Every ministry of this church is part of this process. What is the task of the youth ministry? It's to help students run the bases. What is the task of the children's ministry? It is to help prepare the kids to run the bases and in some cases start running. What is the task of the adult Bible fellowships? The task of each ABF is to help each person in the class run the bases. What is the task of the men's ministry, women's ministry, athletic ministries, bookstore, library, music ministry, ushers, greeters, tech crew, custodians, grass cutters, window washers, secretaries, volunteers, grounds crew, counselors, follow-up teams, membership teams, finance team, missions team, elder board, nursery workers, and youth staff? Every single person, every person in this church and every ministry in this church has to be involved either directly or in a support capacity of moving people around the bases. Why do we counsel? Why do we minister to people whose personal relationships are struggling? Because that is part of helping them grow and serve, which is part of moving them around the bases. A few observations that a baseball diamond doesn't show. One is, we never run alone. In the coming months, particularly as we work through 1 Corinthians 7, we're going to be understanding that and how it relates in the home. As a church in the coming months, we're going to be developing, as a part of our adult Bible fellowships, a very intentional ministry of small groups. One of the things that is critical to helping each other move around the bases is the urgent need of community. We have to be a community of believers who minister to each other. Classes can help with instruction and are very important in providing information, but relationships are where that instruction is embraced and carried out. And also understand this. In the body of Christ, there are no stadium seating. Everyone's a player. So what do you do? Again, I ask, where are you? Are you on the outside looking in? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ yet? And if you have you connected with the body? Are you committed to the local church that God has established? Have you become a member? Are you helping others get around the bases? What do you need to do? These classes that I have mentioned that serve as introductions to this are being offered to you. You can sign up to take these classes. The details of that are in the gathering space this morning. And because we just started a brand new round of these classes, you can still be part of them. Now, you may have some specific questions about your schedule and ability. You know, our job is to help figure out a way to bring this instruction to you. And if you can't make it to the class, we'll bring the instruction to you. If you do not want to join the church and you do not want to serve, you really need to figure out what that problem is. If you have a problem with the church or with yourself, what's holding you back from getting it resolved? Life is way too short to live controlled by past disappointments and present day excuses. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a commission from God to carry out. The leadership of this church has a divine mandate to help you do that. And we are seeking to pursue that mandate with joy and intensity because we have a dream that one day when we are all together in heaven, that we will look at each other and say, "Show me your hands. I'm looking for nail prints because I need to know, I want to know which one of you is Jesus because you all look so much like Him." Let's stand together. Gracious Father, we echo what the Apostle Paul said at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. By Your grace, You have called us to be part at ground zero of Your plan to reach and change the world by calling a people to Yourself and seeing them grow and be nurtured. Father, thank You that is ultimately up to You. And with our confidence in You, we want to run hard. Father, You know what each of us needs to do. God, please help us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray.